Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning.
Hello and welcome to another edition of After Midnight. Of course, that is the show that starts after midnight. I am, of course, the host. I'm the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also find the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio. Go ahead and call in. It's 718-664-9133. For those that are listening, want to join in on the conversation. But right now, someone I want to talk to, it is Emil J. Emil, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing good. I just woke up like 20 minutes ago. I'm already drinking beer. This is a good time. It's a good day. Yesterday was a time in my life, and I'm here to tell about it. So
you're here to tell about your interesting evening. Before we get there, I think we need some music to set the mood properly.
Let's do it then.
I wish I was special. You're so f***ing special. But I'm a creep.
Exactly happened last night. There were desperate cries for help last night. I saw on the Twitter. Just explain to me what happened for you to get to that place.
Before we get into that, I just want to say, while listening to that song, I was standing alone in my kitchen, chugging beer during the whole time that song was playing. So if you're looking for an accurate description of Emil J, it's chugging beer while listening to Creep by Radiohead alone in the kitchen.
Oh, Emil.
Well, you know, me being the degenerate that I am yesterday, I decided that I was going to go to the Gentleman's Club.
Oh.
So I go
right there. How old are you?
I'm fresh-faced. Not so fresh-faced, but I am an adequate-looking 27-year-old. You know.
I would think by that time, unless you have a lot of money to throw away,
which
I don't understand why at 27 you would still go. You kind of grow out of that stage after a while.
I think. I keep growing into it. It's great.
Grow into it. No innuendo.
No. Because you know the way the blood fills the
yes. Place. But
anyway. So
we're not here for a lesson in biology, but continue.
I'm a big strip club guy. I like it. It's or gentleman's club rather. I like it. It's a place to relax. You see a boob here and there, and it's great. Whatever. So I happened to go not to the strip club last night. I go to the gentleman's club, a cabaret.
A steakhouse?
It was not a steakhouse, unfortunately, but I did have a lot of Jack and Coke.
Fair enough.
I'm there with a good pal of mine. We're talking. We're catching up. We haven't seen each other in a while. And it's closing time. You know you're at a great place in life when you're consistently at the strip and or gentlemen's club when they turn on the lights, you know, to shoo the...
You know, that's always a very... What's the word I'm looking for? But that's one of the worst moments in life when the lights come up and you can see the girls. I think sometimes the dark lighting in some of these gentlemen clubs really help out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
When those lights come back up, it's just it's a harsh reality check.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You can see, like, the bulge in the undies that they were wearing. Like, oh, man, I got a lappy from a dude. Like, no. So the lights come back on. My buddy's got to, you know, it's like 3 o'clock. He's got to go to work or do something. He had to do something today. He had to wake up at an early time. So I was like, well, I'm not done with this night. And I was just going to come back to Brigantine, go to the bar that's open 24 hours, 7 days a week, St. George's. I was going to go there. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to call my buddy who runs Delilah's Den, which is another gentleman's club in Atlantic City. And
wait, is Delilah's Den in Atlantic City or right outside of Atlantic City? Is it the same location?
Well, funny enough,
Or are there two?
No, there's only one. However, Delilah's moved to Atlantic City, like across from, right one block up from Bear Exposures, where...
Wait, is Bear Exposures the one with the swing set?
No, that's a playground.
No, that's... You know, if we were to put this in independent wrestling terms, the playground would be the shindies.
Yeah, absolutely. By far.
It's a goddamn swing set.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Where I was at, the first place I was at was where Delilah's used to be and is now called the Crazy Horse Cabaret. So I was basically doing Delilah stuff all night.
How is the Crazy Horse? I have a friend who actually bartends there. Never had the chance to check it out. How is that?
I like it.
Is that the Ring of Honor of?
I wouldn't say the Ring of Honor. I would say the...
the TNA.
No. I was at this place in Allentown the night before National Pro Wrestling Day called Platinum Plus.
Yes.
Good Lord. That's like the freaking... whatever you think is the best, like what, WWE or like TNA, like that was like that of strip clubs. It was amazing. That place was cool. Like I've been to like six different strip clubs this month during Black History Month. Anyway, so I don't know why that matters.
I don't know either. I was just letting you go on that tangent.
At Crazy Horse. For Jack and Cokes in.
Now Crazy Horse is a steakhouse.
They do have food, but I mean, never when I'm there because the kitchen's always closed because I'm the guy that comes out at like 1 a.m.
Well, by this point, it was a little bit later, wasn't it?
1 a.m.
Oh, okay, so, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue with this fascinating journey into Emil's.
Yes, into Emil's life. So I'm friends with the GM of Delilah's. And so, you know, I walk in, no cover. I get a couple drinks on the house. Fair enough. So
I'm going to start hanging out with you.
Please do. So then there comes Jack and Coke number 5 and number 6, plus an additional shot of Jack. And I'm like, well, you know, things are feeling great right now. And I decide to take a trip down to around the corner to Ducktown. Which, this is where, like, things started, like, going awry, as it were.
Now, Ducktown, explain for the listeners out there what Ducktown is exactly.
Ducktown is a 24/7 establishment. Kitchen, all the time. Alcohol, all the time. It's a beautiful thing that we have in Atlantic City. where they never stop serving. You know, you might go to places like in Philly where they cut you off at 2 a.m. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just getting started at 2 a.m. This is bullshit. You know what I mean? But, like, it's great. They have a happy hour from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. Half-price appetizers, drink specials. It's great. That's pretty much the only time I go to Ducktown is in between the hours of 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. So, and it's a very popular spot because of the after-hours part. A lot of people come through those doors. It's a very popular local spot. Because of that, I never had a situation like I had last night. Last night I walk in and I see a lot of people that could pose for a potentially problematic situation for young MLJ.
Really?
Itself. Yes. I walk in and go to the washroom, handle my business, come back out, sit down, and who am I no less than 7 feet away from but the girl I lost my virginity to.
Oh.
That we do not get along. I haven't seen her in 2.5 years. There was a lot of fallout from that. It was a workplace romance that went awry. Lots of negative things were said, lots of hostility. It got better. I heard she was talking shit again, and then I embarrassed her in front of everybody in the confines of a rap battle at my job at a Halloween party, which was awesome. It really did a lot for me.
Your life only gets more complex. You're like an onion, and each week we pull back the layers, Emil. But please continue.
And after that, it was just curtains from... Actually, you know what? I probably haven't seen her in close to 3 years. And she's, like, no less than 7 feet away from me, up one table, over one. And, like, I'm facing her, she's facing me, but, like, I see her, I don't think she sees me. Or maybe she does and doesn't sell it. But then, off in the distance, I see some broad that I talk to on OKCupid, like, back and forth. I was like, I know that person. Where do I know from? Oh, that's OKCupid. Shit, that's weird. And then on the other side was this other dude who's friends with this group of people that I am loosely affiliated with only because I had sex with one of the girls in that group a few times while she was involved with somebody who's also in that group and they're best friends. And said guy that she's involved with still now was there. And I was like, I had sex with that dude's girlfriend on multiple times.
Emil.
So all of a sudden, like within like a minute, I am seeing all these potentially hazardous folks. You know,
why did you stay?
Because I ordered potato skins. And another Jack and Coke.
Emil, we have to talk.
No.
We need to have an intervention here.
No, why?
Why would you stay in such a dangerous, potentially dangerous situation like that? That's... Well, how many drinks did you have by this time? You said six.
That was my seventh Jack and Coke, with an additional shot of Jack somewhere in the mix while at Delilah. So I was feeling good. I'm reckless. I don't give a shit. You know, whatever. And I'm chatting with my team best dude buddies while this is all going on, and it's funny, like, because like. If you go back and read the history, like, I can go back and read the Facebook messages as, like, they can, too. Like, there's just a time where I'm like, oh, you know, I'm at this bar, blah, blah, blah. You know, six drinks in at the after hours club, you know, whatever. after hour bar, you know. And then, like, we're just talking about that, and then all of a sudden I just go, fuck, fuck, fuck. They're like, wait, what's going on? Like, I'm freaking out. Like, oh, I see this person. That person's over there. This is bad, but my food's on the way.
So what happened from this potentially caustic situation?
A lot of weird feelings went through my head, like, ah, this is going to be weird. I'm going to have to fight somebody. I'm wearing a nice shirt. I don't want to ruin that.
Now, we do have a caller, Himmel, so I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Let's do it.
But I want to see if the caller perhaps has any type of thought about this, so let me get them on. Caller, go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Steve from New Jersey.
Hello, Steve from New Jersey. Do you have a question, or?
I had a comment for Emil.
Okay.
Emil probably knows who I am. I'm the boy in the wheelchair who...
Yeah, wheels, what's up?
Yeah, okay, yeah. I just wanted to say, I know I've given you a lot of crap, but hearing this story, I will never chant Larry Legend's name at a CZW show ever again.
Yes!
Well, there you go.
Degeneracy wins over good announcing.
Do you have anything else for us, Steve?
No,
perhaps
no,
a question
no,
for him?
That was it. That was all I wanted to say.
Well, thanks for calling
and,
in, Steve.
Hey, thank you, man. You know, I love it when you guys give me shit because it's fun. I like it. But, hey, man, thank you for your support. Thanks for listening. And I will see you, like, real soon, right? What day? 2 weeks? Is it 2 weeks?
It's like a weekend.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be there.
All right, cool, man.
Yeah. And, you know, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show. I listen every week. So.
Oh, thank you. I certainly do appreciate that as well. So, call in any time, Steve.
This is my first time, so I'll be sure to call in again.
First time, long time. I love it, Steve. But, yeah, you're welcome to call in any time. And I certainly do appreciate you listening and calling in and talking to Emma and myself. But you have a great night. Thank you.
Yeah, you too.
All right. So that was Steve.
Ah, man, he's a good dude. I like him. He always gives me shit, but, you know, it's cool. I like that. Any reaction is better than no reaction to me.
I agree with that. We're kind of segueing into a wrestling discussion, which is fine.
Kind of, sort of, because wrestling is everything. Wrestling, real life is fake. Wrestling is real. You can apply anything wrestling to real life and have it make sense. I've done it a billion times. But anyway...
Get back to the story in a sec. I want to see what happened here.
Back to that, like, it ended the best way it possibly could have happened for me. Now, you know, I'm just there eating, minding my own business, hoping that, you know, there's no altercation from it. But the mix of booze and aggressive hip-hop music being played on the jukebox... I'm thinking, man, if it's going to go down, I'm ready. Like
aggressive hip hop music, I love it. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Like I'm ready to go. Like I don't give a shit at this point. But then, the guy who's the best friends of the guy whose girlfriend I was with, you know, he came up to me. He was like, "Hey, man, what's going on? I haven't seen you for a while." Hey, man, what's going on? You know, and we made a small talk. Everything's cool. And then he leaves. I eat. Still, this girl hasn't said a word to me. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Okay, Cupid girl has left with her deceiving picture ass, you know. I see one of my employees, one of my cocktail servers, literally stumble.
Just wait. Okay, she stumbled. That's where we left off. But
she literally stumbled out the door, which is... right next to me. I'm sitting right next to the door. Right, like, literally 3 feet away from the door. She doesn't see me. I see her drunk ass, but she is just like, blah, 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 and just, like, stumbles out the door. I'm like, what is going on? Why do I see all these people right fucking now? I see one of the guys, another manager with whom I work with at the luxurious casino with which I am employed with. I'm like, man, there's just like everybody here. I am vulnerable. Why? So then, like, I'm eating, and I'm, like, becoming less and less bugged out because, like, nothing's happening. But then the group of girls gets up with where the girl I lost my virginity to was with. They all get up, you know, and they're making their way out. And then on her way out, she just, like, looks at me. She goes, hey, how are you? I'm like, how are you? That was it. That was the whole discussion. Nobody told each other how they were doing. It was just empty question asking.
I have 2 points here.
Okay.
The first one deals directly with you. The second is a story that came back to my mind from my travels when I was probably about your age, probably a little bit younger at the time. Emma and I are 10 years apart, for those that don't know, as far as age-wise. Now, the first thing I have to ask you is OKCupid. I don't think that's okay in this day and age anymore.
Why?
OKCupid just is kind of the Craigslist of these dating sites, isn't it? Or am I completely wrong? I've never used a dating site, so I don't know.
It just
seems like a creepy site to me.
Maybe I'm wrong. I got a real good sex story about a girl that I met on OKCupid.
Save that for later.
Okay.
We got to move on. Now, the second story is, it actually deals with the playground. My friend, who will remain nameless because he's married now and he's never told his wife about the past, but we go to the playground and we were drinking, getting free drinks in the casinos, and we were at a bar in the casino, and we actually won some money, so we were buying drinks, and it was one of those type of deals. So we were pretty, I guess, three sheets to the wind is how the old-timers would say. We get out on, what is that, Pacific Avenue there?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we get out on Pacific Avenue, across the street from Trump's Plaza.
Oh, I know that area very well. God's country.
Across the street, we're heading right for the playground. We get there, they have a rather large bouncer there. They take one look at my friend, and you know how you have to go in to you go into the playground, and then it's like a hallway, and you can go right out?
Yeah.
Well, he takes my friend by the back, walks him down that hallway, and right back onto the street. It was the funniest thing.
That's awesome. He got Jazzy Jeff at the playground.
It wasn't me, because the guy's like, look, your friend, he's just, I can't do it. It's going to be trouble.
This guy is like three chapters to the wind.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that was one of my favorite events that happened in Atlantic City. I think it's time to move on. Are we at a resolution with the story quite yet? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, she left. We exchanged our empty how are you questions. And then shortly thereafter, my man who could have had heat with me left. He probably does have a lot of heat with me, from what I know. First, his friend is walking in front of him. We high five or whatever, clap each other up, as it said in urban communities in 2003, to use antiquated urban terminology. And as he's walking out the door, like, I just feel this dude's like eyes just like staring a hole at me, and I just like give him like a heads up nod and the hang 10 sign, like, yeah, what's up, man? And he's like, what's up? And he just walks out the door. I'm like, all right, I avoided this one. And it was just weird. It was just weird for me to see all those people in one place. The desperate cries for help were, that was just me taking the piss out of the situation, because
I see.
Yeah, like, I was in no real danger of myself or anything. Like, I was having a good time. It was just really weird to see those people in that construct at the same time. Like, it had potential for a explosive powder keg-like situation, but luckily nobody brought the matches. So,
No, I can certainly agree with that, Emil. I can that story just.
I'll tell you what.
Atlantic City as a whole is just a very strange place. A lot of things can happen there, and I do have another caller. So let me go ahead and get them on here. Hello, caller. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is the fake CZW announcer once again.
All right. How you been? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, it's been a couple weeks, but thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Definitely. What's up?
Well, thank you again for taking my call. And Emil, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys doing? That's what I want to know.
I'm doing good. I not to break kayfabe here, but I heard you took care of my boy down in AC tonight. So.
Oh, you're not. I thought you were with him.
Unfortunately, I was not able to be down there with him tonight. But
okay.
Another time. So.
Okay, yeah, because I remember that we were all talking about it, and I had just assumed that you would come down with him. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't able to take it down because I have the obligation tomorrow morning, but appreciate you taking care of him, and hopefully we'll have a good story for next time, for the next CZW show. So.
Ah, for sure, and I hope to actually, once I'm done with this, once we're done with this show, they should still be partying. I plan to meet up with them, and hopefully I can be a part of this good story that we do plan to tell at the next CCW show, hopefully.
Well, you might be telling me the story, because I don't know if they'll remember it. But
good.
Anyway, listen, guys, hey, a couple things. Just wanted to say thanks again for taking my call. Emil, you might be able to speak on this a little bit better than anybody. The crowd at the last CZW show, from my perspective, was very encouraging. And
yeah.
I know that I don't want to speak out of line here, but CZW is not exactly profitable, at least from what I understand and read. So, Emil, are you able to speak at all on does that help CZW bring in extra star power on a long-term basis, or does it just make – the overall operations of the company a little bit more comfortable? And again, maybe that's not your realm, but I figured I'd ask.
It definitely makes things a lot more comfortable, I would say. DJ is working on a lot of different things right now, which also ties into, you know, bringing in people. We're going to see a lot of fresh faces over the course of the next few months if everything in the works does go as planned. Something like this, coming off the 15th anniversary show, is such a huge crowd, a phenomenal crowd, if you will, if I can be so corny as to mention a guy.
No pun intended,
but I do believe that he was a big part of why the house was up. But also it had to do with it being a very strong card and it being the 15th anniversary and CZW having a nice string of shows for the past few months. Like, I would say since like last TOD, like it's been like a real strong line of shows, at least from my vantage point. It definitely helps. And hopefully the show was good enough, which I think it was, to retain some of those people that came either after A, not being around for a while, or B, that had never heard about it and just came because, you know, they heard it was happening or they heard AJ Styles was in town or whatever reason it was that they decided to come to this event. Hopefully there is a high retention factor there because hey, man, you know what? I just want to see everybody succeed. You know, whether I work for the company at CZW or On Point or WSU or you know, any of the other places I work for, or if I don't, you know, like, I just want people to show up and have fun and, you know, for the boys to get paid handsomely and for me to make a little bit of money. And having crowds like that is definitely going to make things like that happen. So it's not a bad thing. That's for sure.
Absolutely. I will say, there have been sale points as a fan's perspective in CZW's last 5 years, and the last 6 months, I will say, has been extremely encouraging and fun as a fan. So hopefully the momentum continues and what
have
you. So, but so to that point, anyway, Emil, I'm not sure if you can confirm for us or what have you, or for me. Obviously, we have the South Jersey shows or Philadelphia tri-state area shows, but are there any other international shows that are forthcoming on the card or on the docket for CZW?
CZW traveling or international folks coming into CZW?
Traveling.
There is stuff in the works for another
Mexican, right?
Some people are going down to Mexico.
Lucha.
CZW, it's become like a yearly thing where they do like a tour of Europe, like UK and Germany and whatnot in the early
spring.
Autumn. They do that tour in like October. And we're doing that again this year, and I think it's going to be more dates over there, which is good, because the response over there has been high. And DJ has been talking about taking CZW to Japan, and this might be the year that we see that happen. He's been talking about wanting to bring the brand, not just a certain number of CZW guys, but the actual brand of Combat Zone Wrestling to Japan, and if everything goes right, there's a high possibility that that will take place this year. I cannot confirm or deny for 100% whether it will or not, but if everything goes as planned, there's a strong possibility of that happening from what knowledge I'm privy to.
And just to when we had DJ on last time, he did say he's looking into actually branching out into North Jersey as well. So there's a lot of possibilities just to clarify.
I mean, they're going to be in Rhode Island in April. And there's a few other out-of-state dates that they have lined up. I don't know if I'm of liberty to reveal that yet or not, but they will be returning to Dayton. They had that show in Dayton last September for Deja Vu, which had that No Rope Barbed Wire. Which is like the staple of Deja Vu. So I do believe they will be returning there to the Rockstar Arena.
Well, April 9th, I'm going to try to get DJ on so he can do a best of the best thing, and we'll get some of the questions right from his mouth. So stay tuned for that. I haven't confirmed that with him yet, but I am going to be working on getting DJ back on.
DJ loves to talk. He'll do it.
No, I know that. I've had him on anytime I ask. He always comes on, so it's not a problem. He does enjoy talking about the company and talking about himself. 8 hour shoot. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, man.
Eight hours, brother. But fake CZW announcer, do you have anything else for us?
Well, no. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you taking my call again. This isn't the first. It won't be the last. And Emil, keep an eye out for my boy later tonight, all right? He might need a little help later on.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a call once this show is done, see where he's at, see, because I texted him a little while ago, and he's either, he got into the club, he's there, no problem, so that was a half hour ago.
He's there, he might need a little guidance back to his room tonight, so if you know what
that's
I mean.
That's okay. I hear he's got a bevy of ladies with him, so that's my forte.
Well, Emil, I'll share this with you. He did share a couple pictures with me, and these ladies are not fives, they're nines. So if I were you, I would head out.
I'm there.
All right. Enjoy, boys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for calling in.
Take care, brother.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. So that was fake CZW announcer. Not the real thing. He's fake.
Yeah, he's not me, but he's me. Or one of the commentators, of course.
I certainly enjoy every time he calls in. He adds a lot to this very program. But now, Emil, I have a special surprise. This just happened a few moments ago. You
okay.
never know, but I'm going to play him in. Here it goes. Not recognize the new music, or maybe you do, but this is the Bulldozer.
I absolutely do. Fuck yeah.
It's the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Matt, how are you doing?
Dean Emil, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
How you doing out there in West Virginia? Of course, you're taking care of some personal business. How's it going out there?
Not bad, man. Like you said, taking care of some family stuff. I am in beautiful, wild, and wonderful, rustic West Virginia, enjoying the peace and quiet.
Now, you're out in the middle of kind of the country area, it looked like.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Oh, man. So this is actually a good time to announce it a little further with your help. Of course, Moose Knuckle Entertainment, that's Don and Justin, along with myself, we're going to be putting out this On the Road series, and you're a part of this. You are the first part of the series, because we're hoping that it catches on and we can do more of these. Now, basically, what this is we're going to follow you around. We're going to go to different places. The first principal filming, I guess you could say, will start at Extreme Rising.
Yeah, it's a project you guys approached to me a couple weeks ago. And, you know, at the start, you know, I was all bored and we talked, and after thinking about it even more and the project more in depth, I'm 100% in and really looking forward to this, and hopefully it can I'm a real big fan of documentaries like the Barbed Wire City and all the ECW stuff, so I'm pretty excited to be a part of a documentary that you know, that could lead to big things and, you know, have a good following. And, you know, you guys, I know Don and Justin are talking about you know, film festivals and stuff like that, so I'm pretty excited about the project.
Yeah, we certainly do have big plans. We have certain connections that we have been making day by day to make this thing something that people want to see. And I think beyond that, what we're going to attempt to do, and you gave me the full go ahead with this, was we want to show both sides of the Bulldozer. Now, granted, he came out with that promo yesterday, and it kind of scared me because he said the humble kid was gone. But I want people to see Matt Tremont, and then I want them to see that transformation into the Bulldozer. I think a lot of fans don't – they see you as the Bulldozer. Now, granted, if they talk to you at a show, they would know a little bit more, but there's such a dual character with you.
Mm-hmm. It's, before you go out to that curtain, that's when the switch goes off. But, you know, outside of the ring, I just, you know, you go through the daily grind and struggle of life every day. But I just, you know, I keep to myself. I'm a quiet guy. And, you know, I just try to, you know, just enjoy life as much as I can through all the, as I like to say, you know, trials and tribulations of life. And that's just what it is. And I take the good with the bad. And, I'm looking forward to showing, you know, a different side, an aspect of me that people don't really get to see, and on the road with other wrestlers, and behind the scenes, into a show, outside of a show, in the car, on the road to shows. So I'm looking forward to it.
See, initially this just started with the road trip idea I had to document that. We were going to go out to Pittsburgh and do that and document the road trip aspect because I think, again, that's a very interesting thing. But then it just kind of ballooned that we have this great subject, and that's you, this great subject that we can really go in depth with. And when you wrote me, I think I was on the air at the time with the Wednesday night program. And I was like, no, it was actually Tuesday night program. And I was like, this is just great. I was so excited that you saw the full potential of it.
Definitely. No, I see a lot of promise with it. And I just like, you know, everybody in the business wants to be, you know, a part of something, and they want to stay relevant, you know, as much as they can and stay, you know, on the in and, you know, make sure that, you know, you're keeping busy. And this is another one of those things that keep getting your face out there and, you know, stay relevant. And, you know, it's, you know, more content, the better, you know, people continue to hear and see your name and, you know, see what you got going on. So I'll say it over and over again. Like I told you the other night, I'm 100% emotionally invested in
this
project.
Yes. Now, of course, I'm going to have you on later in March so we can talk about the Scott Summers match. But Emil, I kind of left you out in the cold there. Do you have anything for Matt? Do you have anything for Matt here?
Man, Matt's my boy. Everything going well for you down there in West Virginia?
Yeah, man. Things are getting better, taking care of family stuff. You know, when my dad passed, you know, it was the first time, like, I've had any hardship, like, of losing somebody. So I've never felt that before. So, but, like, you know, I came down here to, you know, help out my stepmom and stuff. And, you know, a lot of memories and stuff. But, you know, I'm just taking things day by day, man, and just trying to help out as much as I can and, you know, earn some good karma points.
Good. Good to know you're doing well down there. What am I going to see? Next weekend, right? No, two weekends from now. I have so much stuff going on right now that I have no idea, like, what day is what. All I know is it's after midnight right now, so that's why we're all here.
I seen you guys post, I'm like, I want to call in and chime in and, you know, chat with you guys for a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, Matt. Now, of course, a big show coming up. You have Extreme Rising. That's where we're going to try to get some footage in the can, as they say. You know why they say it's in the can? Because they used to come at film reels used to come in the can. So that's why that's said. I don't know why I went off on that tangent. Now,
a legit can.
Yeah, it was a legit can. So that's where the saying comes from. Now, Extreme Rising, you're in a tag team match. You're in with one of the guys that you grew up watching, Balls Mahoney. Now, we're going to talk about this a little more in depth on the Wednesday program. When you come on, I forget the day offhand what it is. I think the 13th. But just like Balls Mahoney, I mean, that's a guy, ECW legend, really.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Extreme Rising thing kind of just fell into my lap. It was a lot of people say, I guess, you know, right place, right time sort of thing. December of 2012 was their last show at the Armory before they, I guess, quote-unquote, folded for the time period they were gone. And some guy couldn't show up and, you know, opened the door, an opportunity for me, worked in that show that night. And then, you know, they came back this year and, you know, I was given an opportunity again. And I get to mix up with Balls and Axel Rotten, who's in a bit of a little controversy right now. I see he's been going at former CZW owner Zandig. So I know a lot of people are talking about Axel right now. But I'm
My money's on Zandig. I mean, Axel, you're all right. But my money's on Zandig all day. I'm going out on a limb. Whatever.
It's a very interesting thing because the shoot video he's so upset about came out like 4 years ago.
It doesn't
make much sense.
Zandig's shoot interview is so big they had to give him three volumes, and they're from like 2010. So it's not very relevant, but I guess, you know, in the power of YouTube, you know, somebody will see a clip and, you know, go on a tangent. But, I mean, I guess he felt some kind of way about it, but, I mean – I went across the original boss. He's still Zandig.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that either. Now, the 15th, you have Scott Summers. Scott Summers, of course, very big in Texas. He's known in CZW as the guy who got a chunk of his head taken out on a cinder block. Mm-hmm. And you have him in the main event coming up at Throwdown. Now, just very briefly, because we'll go more in depth coming up later in March, but your thoughts on this match, and plug that promo, because that promo is, my God.
The promo I put out yesterday, a lot of people hit me up about it in the last 24 hours, and I guess it's one of those promos where, I guess if Paul Heyman was behind the camera watching, I'm hoping he would smile, because the business is built on passion, and sometimes when a little bit of realism is thrown into those promos, things come out a little bit more realistic and raw and real. And I think I got that point across. And, you know, I brought my heartaches and hardships I'm going through right now, and it kind of, you know, lit a fire under my ass to kind of put a promo together. And I thought it was a good one, and it seems to be getting a little bit of a buzz. And, you know, in a business where you can only promote yourself, you know, you got to push it hard, and then once a bunch of people see it, they'll retweet it and reshare it, and the power of social media. So it seems to be getting out there. But it was 110% heartfelt, and you know I meant every word. Nothing but respect towards Scott Summers. He's a guy I thought CZW should have brought back in after, you know, he pretty much killed himself at TOD a couple years ago. But On Point had the balls to bring him in, and him and Dickinson tore it up back in September. And I remember sitting there at the old Proving Grounds in Deptford watching Summers and Dickinson literally beat the piss out of each other. And for a guy that mm-hmm. likes the physicality and the hardcore wrestling, I mean, I don't want to be too graphic, but I was turned on by it. I wanted a piece of it. Like, I wish it was a three-way dance and I was in there that night. But, you know, they brought out the cinder blocks and the chairs, and they just had a war. They went over 30 minutes. They told a great story, and like you said, we'll talk about it more, but I'm really looking forward to working with Summers. And like I said in the promo, my home promotion of CZW, I haven't been able to be as hardcore as I'd like to be at times. And I think I will, I'll get that opportunity on the 15th with a guy who's also as hungry as I am to make a stand. So I'm looking forward to throwing down with the King of the Underground on March 15th.
That's right. Another interesting thing about this match is that you are undefeated in On Point Wrestling, and so is Scott. Now, Scott has only had one match. You have had four in On Point. So somebody's going home with a loss here. It's going to be an interesting one.
Another thing I want to point out, what Matt was just saying about while watching Summers and Dickinson, absolutely true, because, Matt, if you remember, I was pretty much sitting right next to you during that. We were sitting on, what was that, a pickup truck or whatever they had in the Proving Grounds? What the hell was that?
It was rather random, yes, I'll admit that.
We were sitting on that gimmick, and you were into it, man.
I got pumped up.
yeah, Matt was, hungry for that. So I think taking that whole attitude that I witnessed myself firsthand, that's kind of what's got me excited to see you and Scott Summers go one-on-one. I'm definitely going to be jacked up to announce that thing. So,
you Bruce Buffer that shit up, man. You've been doing good, dude. I'll say it here. I know, you'll get your fair share of heckles and stuff at the dub, but you've been doing your thing for a while. And if there's any ring announcer that somebody needs on their show nowadays, you hit up fucking MLJ.
Man, I love that. Thank you.
100%, dude. You've been doing your thing. 100%.
That's going to be a sound bite for you, Emil. I'll send you the MP3.
That's awesome. I fucking love it.
You can make it a ringtone if you want. But Matt, this is amazing. We have a lot of exciting things coming up. Of course, in April, that's when we're taking the road trip. That's going to be fun, getting a little behind the scenes for the fans as well. Just have to cross a few T's and all that. But my goodness, I think this is going to be an amazing project. It's called On the Road. There is a Facebook. We're going to be, on March 4th, we're going to be unleashing the website. We're going to be unleashing all the social media. The social media is out there, but you got to search for it right now. The thing is, we're going to unleash it all on March 4th, the next episode of Moose Knuckle Radio right here on the HIAC Talk Radio Network. But, Matt, I can't wait for all these things. Do you have anything else for us here tonight, Matt?
Just wanted to say hi to you guys, man. You've been doing your thing with these After Midnights for a good minute now. I just wanted to call in and say what's up, plug a few things, and see how you guys were, man. I'm just sitting here lonely in West Virginia right now with my dog and my woman, and we're just relaxing, man. Just wanted to say what's up.
That sounds like you know what? Since I heard her, I do want to say that we do want some interviews with Chrissy. I heard her before on another podcast, and she told an amazing story about you and what she goes through. So I do want that as well.
Definitely. I've mentioned it to her.
I said 100% I will do it.
Yeah, she's in, man. Yeah, she's looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I enjoy every minute I speak with you, and we'll probably be talking as soon as I get done wrapped up on the show. But, Matt, thank you so much for calling in. You gave us a little star power here tonight, and I appreciate it.
Not a problem, guys. Do your thing, man. I'll talk to both of you soon.
Thanks for the rub, brother.
Yeah, he gave you the rub. I didn't get a rub. He gave you the rub. I tell you.
Somebody's got a moonwalk all over this business.
Moonwalk!
There you go. Matt, you have a
later.
Good night.
You too.
All right. So that, of course, was the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. A lot of exciting things coming up in collectively our lives, I think. But it's always a pleasure talking to Matt. And, yeah, this project, I haven't been able to tell you about it, Emil. I told you briefly about it.
Yeah.
That I wanted to get something at the On Point show with you talking about Matt and his impact on the business and that sort of thing and the duality of – you know, Matt Tremont and the Bulldozer. So I told you, hearing a little bit more about it, what do you think about this project?
It sounds like a good project to me. I'm into it. Like you guys were saying, Matt, like the person, totally, totally humble, quiet, very respectful. But when that KRS-One hits and it's time for him to go to the ring, man, he just turns that up. That intensity factor goes up. And sort of that reserved humbleness goes out the window, and he's just like a crazed, you know, he's just like a crazed man out there that will just do anything to, you know, to either A, win the match, B, gain the support of the crowd, see both of the above. You know what I mean? Like he's
oh, I do.
He definitely turns that switch on, and it's interesting to see the two people, I guess, within the one physical body.
Yeah.
See how they operate.
Yeah, I like it, and very excited about this project. I think it should take off with the right. You know, we're doing everything right. Nothing's getting rushed. We're taking our time with it, and I think that's a very key factor of it. Now, Emil, it is time to move on because we have some things to talk about. The first thing I want to talk about, Emil, is Samuel L. Jackson. Now, Samuel L. Jackson was giving a interview to KTLA.
Yes.
That's in Los Angeles. Sam Rubin was the interviewer. And I'll tell you what, there was a little thing happened here. And
yeah.
It's a little long. It's 4.5 minutes, but let's listen to it, and then we'll have our thoughts when we come back.
I like this. I tell you what, you working for Marvel, the Super Bowl commercial, did you get a lot of reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh. You know what? My mistake.
You're as crazy as the people on Twitter.
Right.
I'm not Lawrence Fishburne.
That's my fault. Oh, I know boy. That. That was my fault. My mistake. You know what?
We don't all look alike.
Father, you're exactly
we may be
right.
all black and famous.
You
but
are
we all
guilty.
Don't look alike.
I am guilty.
You're busted.
I am guilty.
He thought you were Bob Dylan.
Right.
You're the entertainment reporter.
I know.
You're the entertainment reporter
right.
for this station.
Vlog.
And you don't know the difference between me and Lon Spencer.
My mistake. I apologize. Really, my big mistake. Let's talk about.
That must be a very short line for your job.
I'll say. No. It probably would not be hard to get another person to sit right here. Let's talk about RoboCop.
Oh, hell no.
Really? Really? I apologize.
I'm the other guy.
But,
I'm the other guy. The
I
other
know.
One. What's in your wallet?
Right. Yeah. That's it. That's exactly right.
There's more than one black guy doing a commercial.
There it is. No question about that.
I'm the what's in your wallet black guy.
Okay.
He's the car black guy.
There it is.
Morgan Freeman is the other credit card black guy. You only hear his voice, though, so there. You probably won't confuse him with Lawrence Fishburne.
You're 100% right. To RoboCop,
there's
you
a heavyweight black guy that's like putting cash down in the seats in a baseball stadium, but he's also the black guy that turns off the house, the water, and the lights when his kid tells him the house is cool.
Right.
I'm not that guy either.
Do we want to do a list of all the people that you're not?
And I've actually never done a McDonald's or a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial.
Fair enough.
I know that's surprising.
Right. Fair enough.
Oh, man.
To the original...
And I'm the only black guy in RoboCop that's not a criminal.
Okay.
Other than Michael K. White.
Were you a fan of the Peter Weller version?
Yes. I love RoboCop. When it came out, it was like crazy... innovative because it was making fun of the government. It was sarcastic. It was violent. Peter Verhoeven did a great job. I mean, there were even bare breasts in it. None in ours. I think they should have had some, but they didn't put any in it. But yeah, I was a huge fan of the original. And when I heard they were making a remake, I wondered why. And I read it. Still didn't know why. But when they told me Jose Padilla was going to direct it, I was really interested in doing it because I like his other films that he made in Brazil. And then Michael Keaton, Gary Oldman. How can you say no to that?
Well, I tell you what, it's obviously a great cast, and this director does have some extraordinary credits.
You know who they all are, though, right?
Yes, I do.
I mean, just in case they have some of them on the show. Do some work.
I won't make the
do
same.
Do some research. Make
you know
sure
what?
You don't confuse them with those other white actors that are out there. Like,
this is a well-deserved spanking. Thank you for it. Let me ask you this. But the fact that you brought up that initial question, why are they doing this? A lot of people talk about that, these rebootings or reimaginings of franchises. So what convinced you?
Well, they were successful films. They were successful films. People reboot some of those films because they think there's a new audience out here that hadn't seen them, or there has been a technological advancement that will allow them to do something that makes the film better or different in a certain way that will appeal to an audience that might want to see it.
Well, I tell you what, it is going to be...
I'm sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead.
Not at all. No, not at all. They're pushing us along, and I'm probably going to get spanked in the most extraordinary way with good reason. We should tell you Samuel L. Jackson's in RoboCop in theaters everywhere on Wednesday, February 12th. There we go. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Samuel. Come here. We'll give you one right now.
That's boom. Right. Boom.
There we go.
Okay. Let's go to the weather forecast. Wow.
You know what? That is a tape now that I believe is now going to have a life
I
all of its
think
own.
You're right.
We'll see, it. We'll see
you're
on
right.
YouTube.
Yes, yeah. Very, very good.
Good morning, Harvey.
Yeah.
I
have a feeling.
In the weather forecast, things are going to be looking pretty good over the next couple of days. As the week goes along, skies will clear even more.
So, Emil, your thoughts on that predicament that Sam Rubin got himself in.
All right, I got three thoughts about this. thought number one, it's a thing that happens when any prominent African-American passes away. And it's my friend, he does this to troll people because he sees other people doing it, like on Instagram and Twitter, and he just does it to troll people. Like, for instance, when Nelson Mandela died, he posted a picture of Morgan Freeman and said, like, R.I.P. Nelson Mandela, blah, blah, blah. And people were like, yeah, RIP, RIP. But then, like, some people were like, wait, isn't that Morgan Freeman? Like, you know, he does that to take the piss. And I think it's hilarious every time he does it. So that's sort of what Sam Rubin was doing, except it wasn't a joke. And this is his job to know who these people are.
Yeah.
Which brings me on to my second point. Second point being, fuck Sam Rubin. Okay? and I say that because instead of realizing that he made a mistake and, like, apologizing for it, like, legitimately apologizing, he did everything in his power to attempt to talk over Samuel L. Jackson whenever he got started to downplay the mistake that he had just made, and he was being a bitch about it.
Do you think that he was intentionally doing that?
Oh, absolutely.
Or do you think it was just he was so embarrassed? I took that more as embarrassment because, obviously, he's the entertainment reporter in L.A., for God's sakes.
Yeah, you should know that. But, this infuriates me because it's not like you are the entertainment reporter in fucking Peoria. You know, you're in Los Angeles. Hollywood is right down the street. You're probably on Alameda Drive or whatever, maybe Television City, wherever you are in L.A. Hollywood's right there. You know these people. You see these people every day. You probably see them at the grocery store. You should know who these people are. But the fact that he made that mistake, number one, is bad enough. Number two, how do you not, you have the name on a piece of paper in front of you. Does he not do research? Does he just assume that this guy did this? That is Bush League to me, number one. Number two, the fact that he was just he might have been embarrassed or whatever, and he was just trying to save face, but don't do it like that.
Yeah.
You know what? Look,
I see your point with that.
I'm sorry. You know, I've made mistakes at wrestling. So, at the last show, because I gave my email address out to somebody, and it was at comcast.net, and I said czwrestling.net. It was a faux pas because it was in my head, but I was like, I apologize, that was a mistake, I'm sorry, it's czwrestling.com. I make mistakes, but I wasn't like, oh, yeah, trying to, get myself out of it. I was like, you know what? Yeah, my bad. It's .com. He should have said, you know what? I apologize. That's not right.
That's Lawrence Fishburne.
That's Lawrence Fishburne. My apologies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Instead of, because Samuel L. Jackson was roasting him. He was roasting this poor boy. And you know what? Sam Rubin, you deserved it, brother. Because not only did you make the mistake, but you seemed like you didn't really give a fuck that you made the mistake either.
You know, I did reach out to Samuel L. Jackson for comment, and this is what I received.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
So that when I reached out, that was the comment I received.
And the funny thing about that is he sounds a lot like Bill Cosby in that sound clip. So do I just take back everything I said? No, but there's a joke. Also, the third thing, when I was watching the video earlier today of that thing happening, that female reporter that said, you can come over here and you can get spanked now, sign me up for that because... Yeah.
Well, it's L.A.
It's L.A. She's beautiful. She wants to spank dudes. I'm game. Let's go. You can tell everybody at 6 o'clock and then again at 11 that you spanked me. I'm okay with it. Whatever your name is, blonde-haired KTLA 5, whoever you are, you're the apple of my eye for these next, 35 seconds.
You know what? You could probably find her on Twitter.
Probably can. I could probably tweet her a picture of myself in a compromising position, maybe Carlos Danger-esque. But
Oh, Emil.
I won't do that because...
The downward spiral continues with you, Emil. So
yeah.
I guess in the final analysis, we would say, Sam Rubin, you made such a big mistake, and you didn't even come out and...
The next day, he did apologize, but I feel like that's something that you have to do from a PR standpoint, but you should have just done it that day. Just do it during the report. You're not bigger than that, Sam Rubin.
I never heard of Sam Rubin until this. So now, granted, I don't live in L.A. I have...
Fuck him. He's a hack.
I was in Kern County before in California,
yeah.
So... But now moving on, Emil, of course, Ellen Page came out of the closet as they... Is that still a term, first of all? Out of the closet, is that still PC? Is that still a thing?
Mean, to a degree, if only because people feel the need to hide it. And, they put it away in the closet, their sexuality that's, counterculture to that of American society or whatever. Not that those are my beliefs. You know what? Where I stand, like, this is my opinion. If you're gay, okay, cool, you're gay. It doesn't bother me. Like, whenever somebody comes out of the closet, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, but it's not, in 2014, I don't think it should be that big of a deal because, like, and this is, like, touching on a totally different thing, but gay has never been more acceptable than it is right now.
Well, I'd agree with that, but... My thoughts on this on the other side, but continue with your thoughts.
I don't think it's a big deal, honestly. Like, you're gay, good for you. It doesn't change my day-to-day life. Could it inspire other people to proclaim their homosexuality? Sure, it could. Could it give them courage? Sure. Do I care about that? No, not really. Because, like... That's your personal choice. It doesn't affect me. I don't care. Not to say what she did, not to downplay what she did, but, for me, like, I don't care. And that goes for that NFL player that just came out, that NBA player that was fucking riding the bench for the past 12 years of his life trying to become relevant. Fucking, it doesn't matter, I don't know. Maybe I'm of a different mindset. But if you're gay...
I know where you're going. You're coming out somewhat callously with it, but I understand your mindset.
And I don't mean to be, like, a dick about it, but, like, that's just my level of not caring, I guess, because it literally does not affect the way that I live my life.
Very true, but I got the audio of the speech. Now, this speech was delivered... In Las Vegas, it was the Human Rights Campaign Time to Thrive Conference, and it benefited LGBT youth.
To be fair, I didn't listen to it, so I don't know what she said.
Okay, well...
But that's just me talking about that whole thing.
Oh, I know.
As a whole.
Well, I'm gonna wrap it up in a nice package on the other side.
Nice package.
Stop it.
Hey, it's... Gay's okay, right?
But here's a... Here's Ellen Page and her speech.
Now, I try not to read gossip as a rule, but the other day, a website ran an article with a picture of me wearing sweatpants on the way to the gym. And the writer asked, why does this petite beauty insist upon dressing like a massive man? Because I like to be comfortable. You're here because you've adopted as a core motivation the simple fact that this world would be a whole lot better if we just made an effort to be less horrible to one another. If we took just 5 minutes to recognize each other's beauty instead of attacking each other for our differences, that's not hard. It's really an easier and better way to live. And ultimately, it saves lives. Then again, it can be the hardest thing. Because loving other people starts with loving ourselves and accepting ourselves. And I know many of you have struggled with this. And I draw upon your strength and your support in ways that you will never know. And I am here today because I am gay. And because... Maybe I can make a difference to help others have an easier and more hopeful time. Regardless, for me, I feel a personal obligation and a social responsibility. I also do it selfishly because I'm tired of hiding and I'm tired of lying by omission. I suffered for years because I was scared to be out. My spirit suffered. My mental health suffered, and my relationship suffered. And I'm standing here today with all of you on the other side of that pain. And I am young, yes. But what I have learned is that love, the beauty of it, the joy of it, and yes, even the pain of it, is the most incredible gift to give and to receive as a human being. And we deserve to experience love fully, equally, without shame, and without compromise.
Now, Emma, I'll admit to you right now that when I first read the reports of this, I was of a similar mindset. I'm like, what? Okay, she came out
right
out of the closet. How does this affect me? But when you hear her words and... when you can actually see the emotion, if you can check out the YouTube or the TMZ, go ahead and do that. She was still struggling with it, and she obviously cornered herself in to make this decision, make this speech, and come out rather publicly.
Right.
When you see all this and you wrap it up, I can understand from her perspective and from people that struggle with this, from a very young age, most of this country is indoctrinated with Christian ideals, with...
Oh, don't even get me started there.
I'm just...
Don't even, because...
I'm not getting you started, but...
That's a totally different tangent that I'm going to go on, and that's...
It is, but
yeah.
From a very young age, where a lot of people are indoctrinated with Christian ideals and Christian theories, and that's just... It's burned into you from a very young age that it's wrong.
And to anybody wondering what tangent I would go on, I'm just going to say I don't agree with that.
Oh, God, no.
I do not agree with that at all. So, but continue.
I found a very wonderful piece. This is part of a tangent that I'm going on now. But it's after midnight. We do this.
Absolutely. Stream of consciousness all day. Let's go.
There was a video on YouTube, and if I can find it, I'll put it up on the Facebook and the Twitter. But there was this wonderful video where this man, he called himself a recovering Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now an atheist. He found out at age 37 that these things that he thought for so long are just the whole idea behind a lot of things. And this can kind of go into Bill Nye and that Ken Ham debate thing.
What a fucking joke Ken Ham is. But go ahead.
I have a story about Ken Ham. Now,
he's the shit.
He is. The whole thing behind these ideals, and you grow up and you're told it's wrong. You're going to burn in this. You're going to burn in hell.
Fiery eternal inferno, of which you'll be reduced to hard labor for the rest of ever.
Yeah, for being who you are and for being who you love, it just doesn't make sense. If God exists and he were a loving God, none of that exists. There's actually a very good YouTube channel, and this is where I actually got the other video that I'm talking about, but Dark Matter
2525.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm familiar.
Check out his channel. The Story of Job is one of my personal favorites. When you go through suffering in life, and I'm going to get a little personal here, but when you go through suffering in life, a lot of people, especially if they're of a religious thought, they'll always say, when I lost my mother, I heard this a lot, that, oh, well, think of the story of Job. God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Everybody who's died has been given more than they can handle. So, and then you look at the story of Job, and for those not familiar, it's a very righteous man who one day, because Satan and God have a bet up in heaven, he decides to take everything away to show Satan that Job will still be a righteous man and he will not curse God for all the suffering that he's going through. And it gets to the point where Job, he was a very rich man, a wealthy man. Think of Bill Gates, that type of wealth. Everything's taken away from him. His wife leaves him. He gets boils all over his body. He's suffering for days. And the moral of the story that Christians will tell you is that, see, this is Job. All that suffering, he never blamed on God. And it just doesn't make... You're going to show me that during a time of grieving.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
The whole story doesn't make sense. And but check out Dark Matter 2525 for just an alternate perspective if you do think that way. I mean, there are alternate ways of thinking. But getting back to Ellen Page... I just want to say I think it was a very courageous thing, especially
what she said was right. The way she said it was right. I just wish more people were of my mind state, where it doesn't matter if you are a dude and like dudes or if you're a chick and like chicks. Like, who cares? Like,
it shouldn't, but people do.
Who cares? Like, and of course you have these God-fearing, Bible-thumping weirdos that just go, oh, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But, okay, so, all right, well, check this out. Like, if we're all God's children, like you say that we are, and this is not to say that I don't believe in a higher power, because I do, because that's just the way I cope with existence, I guess, like, because, like, there's got to be something behind the curtain, whether it's the Wizard of Oz or God or Buddha or whoever the hell it is. And that might be sacrilegious to say, but whatever. I believe in a supreme being. I don't know why. I just do.
I think it's more comforting.
Yeah, it comforts me because it explains why we are here. There's something behind everything.
Well, think about it, though. All the animals that you've had as a child that have passed on. And
yeah.
When somebody dies... I'm of the mindset, and this is after years of introspection, and it just kind of ends. And
right.
I think when you look ahead and you say, after it's all wrapped up, the only thing we have is our legacy. Life is meant to be lived now. I think for a lot of people, they can't just conceptualize that. They have to say there has to be something after that curtain. Through that door, there has to be more.
Yeah.
And it scares them to think that once you breathe...
That what they do now affects what will happen later when they're no longer a physical being. When
I see what you're saying there, too.
That's weird to me. But I just want to finish this real quick. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But if we're all, like, products of this... God or whatever, or children of the Jesus or whatever it is that these guys want to say, then why does gay exist? You know what I mean? Like, do they get that? Like, gay exists for a reason.
Well, if you go back through, if you go back to Christian theology, though, God created man with free will.
Right. Like, see, but my thing is like. If gay is not supposed to be, a thing, then why is gay a thing?
No, I understand that mindset as well. It goes to another Dark Matter 2525 video where you have this idea of everyone has free will. But if you break it down, God will not interject himself when two people are attacking a woman and their child. Okay. God will not intercede to help out the victims in that situation because of free will.
Right.
But what free will does God favor? The free will of the criminals? Now, because what's going to happen after all is said and done? Now, the victims will die. And these two criminals will continue living in this physical world and then will pass on and be tormented into hell. Wouldn't it make more sense for the criminals to see the errors of their ways? They never attack these people, and instead of having a life set out to evil, have a life set out for good, if God interjected. So, likewise, with why is gay a thing, if you go back for theology, it's free will, you know, of course.
They're
going to be
their choice. Like, if they want to, if they're dudes and they want to date dudes, okay, date dudes. Like, that's fine. Like, and another thing, like,
it's very odd to me, and I don't mean to cut you off, but it's very odd to me when, if you're a god, now the whole idea of God is that he created us in his own image, and he created us so we worship him. But then he throws in the caveat of free will. And if you reject the fact that no, I don't want to live that life, I don't want to worship him 24/7, I don't want to walk that life, for whatever reason, then you're going to perish and live eternity.
Yeah.
In hell. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, not like a week.
If
not
you
like,
wanted... Yeah.
Not like a bad vacation. You know, like, it's forever, man. Like, you, the rest of... you know, the first people that died have been living for 6,000 years in hell. That's a Ken Ham joke, by the way, because fuck that
I
guy.
Know. 6,000 years. But
yeah.
No, but when you just break it all down, it just... Then if he wanted people to worship him, why give them the free choice and just create automatons? I guess that's what the angels would be. I don't know. It just gets so – when you just peel away the onions, I was joking earlier about you, when you peel away the layers of the onions of the Bible and things of that, none of it makes sense. It really doesn't. You have to – from the very first chapter, you have to believe that there was nothing and a supreme being out of nothing created everything within the course of 6 days. And then you'll have some Christians say, oh, don't take that literally. A day to God is like 1,000 years or whatever the cat.
Yeah, whatever. I don't get it. Like, and the whole, like, okay, you know more about this than I do. Mind you, I've never read a legitimate Bible a day in my life.
Oh, well, I took a course in college.
Okay. Was it ever said in the Bible, you know, and I'm saying that very facetiously because it's a document that's been whispered down the lane for the past God knows how long. God knows, yeah.
That was funny.
does it ever say that gay is a sin?
It does, but then if you go back to that.
But isn't adultery also a sin? How many of these people are committing adulterous acts and condemning one thing but not condemning the other?
Well,
that's my thing, man.
If you think about it, the definition of adultery in the Bible is simply thinking. So if you have a lustful thought for another woman, you're going to go ahead
and everybody's fucking sinning. Everybody.
Exactly. And that's the whole idea. That's why you have to repent on a daily basis. If you're Catholic, that's why you do the Hail Mary stuff.
The Hail Mary stuff. Fuck that. No, no way. Like, not me. I don't buy it. I don't buy into it. I
don't blame you.
Dude, you know what? This could be a whole nother, 2-hour podcast where I just, kind of shit all over the ideals of those kind of ideals. Because
well, maybe we do a special where we break down the debate between Bill Nye and... Because we can't get into it now, but we get into a debate about Bill Nye and...
Yeah, all I know is Bill Nye is absolutely right.
He cracked me up because when they were talking about the Noah's Ark, because that's a huge point for Ken Ham. when they're talking about Noah's Ark, it was during one of the rebuttals, Bill Nye turns to Ken Ham and he says, I just have to know for a fact, did the fish sin? Why?
Yeah.
Why? I need to know that.
Why are they dying? Why is it okay? now,
there's no geological evidence of a flood, a worldwide catastrophe.
The thing with this is Bill Nye. I'm gonna talk about this for like 2 minutes because it needs to be said. Bill Nye could have gone so much harder than he did, and I wish he did. He should have bit into this dude because there are so many things that when I watched it that were kind of left unsaid. The biggest one being this. The fact that Ken Ham, he wants to break down things into historical science and observational science. And he was saying, oh, well, you weren't there to see it, so you can only assume. And I hate the way he said assumes, that fucking New Zealander piece of garbage. And that's not to say that everybody from New Zealand is a piece of garbage. That's just saying he is. You assume that this is true, yada, yada, yada. When at the same time, this guy
is assuming
that the stories, mind you, the stories of the Bible are true. He's doing exactly what Bill Nye is doing, but using a different text. And it's okay for him? No. Fuck you, Ken Ham.
Well, the whole thing with Bill Nye is that these are scientific theories
based in
science.
Exactly. Mind you.
Hard facts.
Carbon dating may not be an exact science. When they say that this rock is 125 million years old, of course, they might be off by 10 million years. It's a plausible thing. It might not be the exact age that they are saying it is because, you know, different factors. But whether it's plus or minus 10 million years, that's still a hell of a lot longer than 6,000. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, and the fact that this guy wants to teach children this, He wants to denigrate the future of society with this rubbish. You know what? It's just sometimes that I wish that I was, you know, able to debate this guy. But at the same time, I know that I'm not going to be able to control myself in a civil fashion. That's why I'll probably never get anywhere if I want to run for any sort of political office because I don't hold my tongue, which is a shame. And that's a whole different diatribe that I could go on. I'm feeling a certain kind of way right now, Dean.
I understand that, Emil. But I gotta cool you down a little bit.
I'm fired up, baby.
Now, of course, on Valentine's Day, as we move on, well, our final analysis, Ellen Page, I think it was a courageous act, but unfortunately, I don't believe that she should have had to feel that way in the first place.
That's my whole point. It sucks that these people feel this way because they really shouldn't anymore.
How successful is she, though? She came out with the Hard Candy movie way back, made a name in that movie, and then she's in Inception, which was a box office hit. She's in the upcoming X-Men, and she feels shitty?
Honestly, do me a favor. Ask me this question word for word verbatim. Have you ever heard of Ellen Page?
What, before this?
No.
Oh, have you ever heard of Ellen Page?
No. Have no idea who the fuck she is.
Are you serious?
I don't pay attention to this. It doesn't mean anything to me. It really, like, okay, she was in some movies, fine, but, like, I don't have a working knowledge of who you are.
Emil, that upsets me that you had no idea who she was. Inception! She was the girl in Inception. You didn't see Inception?
That was the thing with the dreams, right?
Yes.
I don't know anything
Leo
about it.
Leo was in it?
Leo.
It ended with the spinning top, and it kind of tumbled.
My favorite Leonardo DiCaprio was when he was fucking Luke on Growing Pains.
Oh, Emil, disappoint me in every way possible.
Oh man,
Kirk Cameron—that's another one. He's another nut job.
He's
You know what? Before we get off this whole thing, I did want to bring up the fact that I went to a Ken Ham seminar in Delaware.
Ugh.
I was in 9th or 10th grade.
Oh, okay. It was a school thing.
No, it was extracurricular, I guess you could say. I was part of a youth group growing up. You might not know this by my opinions and things I do now, but
yeah, no.
Part of a youth group growing up, very involved. You could say I'm a recovering Christian as well, but you know, I might fall off the wagon. You never know. You know,
might go to church on Sunday. You never know.
I might go to church and I might ask you, do you want a personal relationship with Jesus, Emil? But anyway, it's a funny conversation. I can see us having, but it's not funny. I went to the seminar with Ken Ham, and it was 3 days of Ken Ham explaining how the Great Flood happened and Noah's Ark, and there's records of its existence and things of that nature. So I knew from a very young age who Ken Ham was. And not only that, you know, growing up, you keep tabs on things from your youth. And I was like, yeah, this, it just doesn't make sense. So when I heard about the debate, and it was always advertised as Bill Nye. Bill Nye's he's going to debate. And then I finally heard it was Ken Ham, and I said, really? So it was very interesting. I heard it did really well. It did wonderful business for, sadly, that was his website and his YouTube, Ken Ham's YouTube. So there was a commercial for his museum that he has out there in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But it's a very odd thing. But moving on, we are in overtime now, Emil.
Yeah, overtime mode. I like it.
Well, the podcast will be available.
Yeah.
People to hear the rest of this. But the whole idea, I'm actually moving on. I'm sorry. I thought I was going back and forth. But House of Cards, Emil, came out.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Man, what a great gift my girlfriend Netflix got me for Valentine's Day this year. I just actually finished watching it earlier today, as I believe you did as well. Is that a fact?
Yeah, did finish today.
And, man, so many great moments. I thought can we just spoil everything? Like, if you didn't watch the whole season already, like, you're fucking
up. You know,
up.
I'll say we can spoil it because right now nobody's listening live.
Okay, fair enough.
So
okay.
I can put spoiler tags and everything.
Spoiler alert, yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, the very first episode.
Oh, my God. Don't even say what you're going to say. That
scene right there, though.
Zoe.
Zoe,
poor
Zoe. Like coming away from this, I'm going to have two memories of Zoe from this series, like, that just hit me right off the bat. Number one is getting eaten out by Frank Underwood.
And creepy moment.
And number two, getting thrust into an oncoming train. Like, fuck. Like, that, like, when that happened. Like,
I figured something would happen this season.
Yeah, but
I didn't think the first episode of the second season we would say goodbye to Zoe.
I didn't think it was going to happen that soon. I didn't think it was going to happen that way either. I thought it was going to be a sort of like...
a hit.
Yeah, something like that, or like... I don't know, like, the way he did Russo was pretty vicious. Like, that was, like, inventive. I liked it. But... like, that was calculating, the way he got Russo. The way he got Zoe was just, like, fucking ruthless. Like, and the way that the surveillance footage made it look like she jumped or tripped, and there was no way that they could pin that on Frank yet. We'll see what the third season has to bring, if this could be a thing.
I don't know. I mean, how did he's at this point? See, with Russo, and of course, this is Perry Russo. He was the Pennsylvania senator. He was in the House. He was a representative for Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia region, strangely enough. Now, Russo was killed by asphyxiation, pretty much carbon monoxide poisoning in the car. And the whole thing with that, you can kind of wipe yourself clean. Now, obviously, on your conscience, you left him there to die.
Yeah.
But
he didn't care.
But the whole thing is, you didn't physically kill him, if that makes
right.
sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was no stabbing, no punching, no horrible things like that.
You just set him up for death.
Yeah, you...
He wasn't able to get away.
Exactly. He was drunk, he passed out, and that was that. You know, goodbye, goodbye, sweet prince. The thing with Zoe was, it was, like you said, very vicious, and he actually was physically involved with that death.
Right, right, of course.
He caused it 100%. There was always a chance Perry could stumble out of the car, wake up from his drunken stupor, stumble out, and go.
Right.
Get out somehow. There was always that chance, that possibility. However, with Zoe, there was absolutely no chance for survival.
Right.
Even though I still thought there was, until you saw the boyfriend. I forget his name right now, but you see the boyfriend, and when he gets to the news, now they didn't break it to you. It was just a wide shot.
Yeah, him slamming shit in the office. What is it, Lucas?
Lucas, thank you.
Dude, I hate him.
You hate him? Why?
I don't like him, man.
He's one of the few. We were talking off air before, but he's one of the few likable people that are left.
I don't like his fucking hair. I don't like him.
I think it's because he was banging Zoe. You didn't like that.
I mean, I didn't like that at all. when she was like, "Can you just finish already?" I was like, "Man, this guy's sex game is whack. Like, he can't. He's not a good journalist." Like, I just like had all these ideas in my head. Like, man, this guy sucks.
You know what kind of annoyed me though is after he's locked up. Now, again, another spoiler, but after he's locked up, because he's set up by Underwood again, after he's locked up, they kind of forget about him. He's there for the next episode, and then he's just kind of locked up. And
good, because you know what? Whenever like they started showing him, like, I became very disinterested. Like, I do not like him.
See, it's like, very strange, because I'm all about... And this is another thing we were discussing off air, but I'm about Frank Underwood getting his comeuppance. The way the season ends with him becoming president, it's just like, it's too much. Again, if you put it in wrestling terms, it's a heel that continues winning and winning and winning and winning, and you're waiting for that moment when Tully Blanchard, for example, gets that comeuppance and loses the title, and Dusty Rhodes is your champion. Who is Dusty Rhodes?
Who's going to be the guy that shoves the shattered, broken wooden chair shards into Frank Underwood's eye?
Nice reference.
Who is magnum going to be PA. The magnum to the Tully? And, like, right now, like, have they really built up any babyface contenders?
The only one I could see is the new Majority Whip.
Oh,
where she
Sharp.
Has, yeah, where she has... a moment of clarity and says, "Whoa, we're going too far." But she helped out in the whatchamacallit and getting him.
Yeah. Well, because
getting the president impeached.
Could Sharp be doing the same thing that Underwood is doing, like trying to make that climb, as it were? You know what I mean? Like, she's the whip right now, which is where Frank started.
See her as ruthless.
But they planted the seeds for that, though.
In a way. I can see
what you're
saying, yeah.
Her demeanor, not necessarily her actions, but her demeanor is definitely more more aggressive than your commoner Senate person, you know?
And we were saying this, another shocking moment was the threesome. Care to comment on the threesome?
What? Why?
Why?
Why? That didn't mean, like, what the, why? That just, like, instead of me being, like, intrigued or, like, I was not intrigued by that. I was perplexed as to why that was even written into the script. Why is that a thing? Why is he kissing Meacham?
they have been building that up. You go back to the first season where there was kind of that idea that Frank had some type of relationship with his roommate in college. The seeds have been there for this. Why they showed it, I'm not entirely sure. Just perhaps to show just that these people.
I was literally shocked, like, when that happened, because, like, it got real weird for me, real quick right there. I'm just sitting there watching, and all of a sudden, it's like a.
But you had to love the next day. Frank comes outside, looks at the nice, beautiful sky, sees Meacham as Meacham opens the door. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? It's a little creepy.
Weird. But, like, I wonder if they all, like, banged each other. Like,
I think that was implied.
Or was it just, like, a fervent kiss orgy?
I think it was, no, I think it went much farther than that. Because, remember, she said, Claire really needed that.
Yeah, Claire was going to work on Meacham's hand. Like.
Very, very odd moment. But
And then Frank is just, like, standing there, like, holding both of their hands. And he's just, like, gazing into fucking Meacham's eyes. And I'm like, what is happening?
It did get weird. It did get very weird.
It got so weird. I needed an adult. Like, I really did. Like, I couldn't.
You needed an adult.
I couldn't deal with that, man.
Okay, another shocking thing that happened, and this was in the last episode, the chief of staff, I forget his name, you're probably right there on it.
Stanford?
Yes, Stanford. Of course, he's taking out Rachel. Probably about to kill her.
Dude, you know what? Like, Doug Stamper was like besides Frank Underwood, like, Doug Stamper is like my guy. Like, I like him. He's like cold and like, he's almost as cold and ruthless as Frank was. Like, I liked it.
Well, the trouble now is he certainly is cold. Because
nobody knows.
Dead. Yeah, he's dead.
And nobody knows.
Yeah, he's out in the middle of the woods. And what happens to Rachel? Is she going to come clean with all this? But who's going to believe her?
Now, who becomes the new chief of staff? It's got to be this Seth guy, right?
Either Seth or I don't think that his secretary would.
No. She's going to not dispense Linda, the
well,
older
he,
white
no,
lady.
He would be the press secretary. Because remember, presidents have press secretaries, so Seth would be press secretary. He wouldn't be the staff.
But the way Seth has been, like, positioning himself.
Possibly. I would say he's more the press secretary. He's going to need somebody in that in that role.
But there's, like, who? I'm trying to think, like, who's been built up, like.
Seth is a very good option, though. I will give you that. I will give you that, but he might go to his secretary for that, because she's kind of cold in her own way, too.
To a degree.
I don't think, while she helped put up Rachel, she knows a little bit about the story with Rachel. But let's talk about Rachel and her story. She went on a strange journey.
Rachel's hot, dude. Like, she's a hot girl. Like,
besides all that, I agree with you.
she went on quite the...
But a spiritual journey, she found herself. Apparently she had a relationship. She cared about this girl. I think it was more or less the fact that it was the only person she could connect with, though.
And you know what? House of Cards proves it's okay to be religious and gay.
Yeah, very true.
It's okay for that because it happens.
Oh, it broke my heart, though, when she threw out her girlfriend.
Yeah, the thing I didn't like about that, though, is I couldn't help but think, like, these girls are ugly criers. like I just looked at them like they don't look good when they cry. I don't like this.
But a heartbreaking moment indeed.
It was. Like I did like the little soliloquy at the end when Rachel was just like laying her out. Like I never felt that way, but I thought I should say it. Yada yada yada. Because I basically said the same thing to my ex-girlfriend. So I was like, I support this.
yeah, so...
Yeah.
But a lot happened this season. A lot happened this season.
Yeah.
And if we spoiled it for you, oh well.
Oh well, man. Like, that's your fault for not watching the whole season in a week like we did.
It's only 13 episodes, people.
It's only less than 13 hours of your life. You can do it. Like, you have days off from work. Like, come on. Just do it.
I certainly agree, but it is one hell of an episode. Where do we go going into season 3 a year from now, unfortunately?
Man, that sucks.
It does.
That sucks. Unfortunately, I have season 2 of Orange is the New Black to look forward to in June. The WWE Network will take over my life, so it's not like I'm going to be a shining beacon of, you know, somebody to think highly of, because, like, I'm not going to be seen. If I'm not at work or at, like, wrestling shows or at a gentleman's club, I'm going to be watching the WWE Network, and I'll probably be watching the WWE Network at work.
What are your top 3 things with the WWE Network?
Top 3, the fact that, see, I'm a guy that enjoys randomness. One of the problems that I have with my vast collection of DVDs and VHS tapes is I have so much to choose from, but I have to pick something at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I have to actually make a decision and pick something and put it in my VCR or DVD player. And I had to be satisfied with it. The thing that I like about the WWE Network is they will have a 24/7 streaming thing. So I can just turn it on and something wrestling will be on. And I'm okay with that.
Very true.
That's thing number one. Thing number two, the fact that because, you know, me and my Team Best Dude buddies do this, you know, with the not-so-live tweets, like, we can just set up a, hey, let's not-so-live tweet Great American Bash 96 at this time, or we can just do it right now if anybody's awake. Let's just do it. It's there. It's at everybody who has the WWE Network's fingertips. You know, we can just say, hey, in 15 minutes, we're going to not-so-live tweet Great American Bash 96. Feel free to join in. Here's a hashtag. Let's do it. And I think people will be more inclined to join in with us, and with that builds networking, and with networking builds friends, and yada, yada, yada. You know how that works. The third thing that I'm looking forward to is the fact that I won't have to find a shitty streaming illegal site to watch pay-per-views with.
We would never do that, though, Emil.
I always do that.
Emil!
I'm going to do that on Sunday for Elimination Chamber.
Listen.
I have no shame saying it because...
Emil.
What?
Emil.
It's okay. It's okay. We all do it.
I have a problem with the people in the business that advertise it openly. I'll just put that out there.
You know what? Whatever, man. Like, it's okay. It's okay in my book because we all know we all do it. You know... But
I have purchased every pay-per-view I have tweeted about.
Man, stop. Have you?
I can neither confirm nor deny that
exactly.
Last statement.
I can't do that.
I'll be like Rusk right now. I invoke my Fifth Amendment right.
Man, Tusk. Man, what a guy. Anyways, so, like, I'm really happy I won't have to go to first row.
Don't advertise it, you jerk.
You can bleep that out. No, I'm really happy I won't have to go to those, like, websites anymore and have to deal with the pop-ups and all that. Like, I can just, like, sit there and say, oh, WWE Network, I'm paying for you. I have purchased this pay-per-view as well as every other pay-per-view that's ever existed, including Over the Edge 99, which is awesome that they're putting on TV.
Well, here's the interesting thing that we discovered on Wednesday when we were talking about Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber will be available for $10 the next day.
Yeah.
So simply wait.
No, not $10. For free. Because
well, yeah, they have
a 1-week free trial.
it doesn't make sense. For the people who are ordering that, I want to see the buys when this comes out in about a month. The buys that Elimination Chamber gets. Because it's the last pay-per-view, so...
The amount of buys that Elimination Chamber has will directly correlate with how many Hooters and Buffalo Wild Wings there are in the country.
True. What happens, I guess that's still going to be a market, right? Or is that just going to stop?
It should still be a thing. Unless Hooters and or Buffalo Wild Wings or whoever else decides to show the pay-per-view in public are subscribers of DirecTV or Dish Network or whatever the hell it is that
True.
Doesn't...
Dish.
Dish, yeah. If they're subscribers of Dish Network, then well, that's not going to be a thing anymore. But, hey, man, I'm for it. Like, I think the network's a great idea.
Oh, it is.
Certainly there are a couple downsides, you know, like...
Hey, NXT, I'm sorry, has a pay-per-view this week.
Yeah, I'll be on the road for that on my way down to North Carolina, which I'm, like, super stoked about. Actually,
We didn't even talk about that. You wanted to discuss it.
Next weekend is CWF Mid-Atlantic. They're doing a tag team tournament. CWF Mid-Atlantic, I mean, I don't know his actual position, but I'm going to say he runs it because he's my boy and he does a lot for that place. Brad Stutz. I've known Brad for a few years now. I've always wanted to go down to North Carolina, hang out with him, that whole crew down there, everybody from, you know, Eric Royal, Aaron Biggs, Grant Sawyer, who does camera and editing, Trevor Lee, who's just killing it, Lance Lude is killing it, Andrew Everett came from there, just a whole laundry list of guys that, you know, we've been doing these not-so-live tweets for their events, and we've been getting CWF a lot of press lately through, you know, me and my Team Best Dude buddies, and I'm very thankful to Brad and Grant for making their shows available to us for us to be, in such a quick amount of time, for us to be able to get the word out about them, because I think CWF is one of the, you know, the best unknown places that is slowly but surely becoming known, becoming a factor in the independent world, and they deserve it because, you know, they run two times. They run every other week. They have regular shows down in Gibsonville, North Carolina, hot crowd, solid wrestling, and they deserve all the new press that they've been getting, especially since last National Pro Wrestling Day in 2013 when Andrew Everett, in the words of Jake Black, double moonsaulted into the hearts of pro wrestling fans everywhere. It's going to be a cool experience. And, you know, of course, like, I'm going down there with Mighty Mo and Oz Tyler to represent.
Oh, cool. Oz is a good kid.
Yeah, he definitely is. And I knew I wanted to travel with Mighty Mo because he's one of my best friends in and outside the business. And, you know, when you make a trip like this, you want to travel with people that you're really good friends with. And we had an idea for another guy, but it couldn't work out. And
Thanks for the invite, by the way.
Hey, man, you're not a wrestler. You're not a part of a tag team, man. Like, that's, like, part of my thing. Like, hey, I'm bringing a tag team. Is that cool? Yeah, man. You know, I'm just joshing. But,
I appreciate the invite.
Yeah. I'll send you I'll create a Facebook event and invite you to it.
Son of a
And
all I do for you.
Yes, yes. You allow me to spout all this wisdom. And I said to Mo, I was like, what do you think about Oz? Because they work together at UWC up in Browns Mills. He's like, dude, I love Oz. I'm for it. So I pitched Mighty Mo and Oz. Brad liked them. And then
I'm just saying, I could have went for the trip.
I don't have enough room in my car.
But you have room for another guy.
Well, that's my boy. That's the boy. I've known him for like 7 years, man.
Yeah.
Since he was like 12.
It hurts a little bit, Emil.
It's fucking weird. I'm sorry. If I had like an Escalade, I'd bring you and pay a lot more for gas.
Anyway, just finish up your thought, goddammit. We're going to run out of time.
Yeah, I pitched the idea. Everybody was on board as part of a grander scheme. I'm trying to get some of these developing indie independents to, you know, work together, talent trade, you know, this and the other, for the good of the boys to work other places, other guys, more notoriety, and then eventually get them onto the next step. That's my grand scheme. But it's also going to be a time where I can hang out with the Team Best Dude crew, me, the boy, Nick Manawa's coming out. You know, he's coming all the way from, like, the Kentuckiana area, and it's going to be a good time. Like, I'm going there for the show, of course, but going down there to hang out with all those guys, party, have a good time, like, that's what I like, because, they're just a real good group of dudes, and, I just want to do the road trip, I want to go hang out there, it's going to be a good time, and, I'm really looking forward to it, and, North Carolina, it's going to be a good time, and I'm sure I'm going to be tweeting about it like a derelict maniac, and you can follow that at Guapo MLJ, that's GUAPOEMILJ, on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and any social media that I have.
All right, of course, you are the voice of CZW and the voice of On Point Wrestling, WSU. You have a lot on your resume.
And BWO, Southern Division, that just started last week in Little Egg Harbor. Really good little show, family-friendly. We had Joe Gacy, Delirious, Veda Scott, Rhett Titus. I was a ring announcer. And that's they got a good thing cooking down there. It was their first show. They had a nice house with crappy weather. And they're trying to do more in the Little Egg Harbor area, that Little Egg Harbor Community Center. And I really hope that they take off because, like I said earlier, it's just another place for the boys to work, more chance to make money. And the more places there are like that, the better it is for all of us.
I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can follow the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio on Twitter. There is a Facebook, facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio. Thank you for everyone who started following there. Not only that, you can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for HIAC Talk Radio on both of them. You can pick up all the episodes, including this very program. You can pick up Obey the Puck, which airs on Mondays. You can pick up Moose Knuckle Radio, which airs on the first and third Tuesdays at 8 p.m., Of course, HIAC Talk Radio is the Wednesday night program every Wednesday at 9 o'clock.
After the flagship, baby.
That is the flagship, Daddy. Now, After Midnight is the third Friday, After Midnight. And there is What's Wrong with Wrestling, the HIAC edition, which is exclusive to here on the second Saturday of the month. Thanks to all the callers, we had Wheels call in, we had Fake CZW announcer, and of course, a very special guest, the Bulldozer Matt Tremont.
The Bulldozer Daddy.
That was, Matt is such a great, I can't think of a better focal point to start the On the Road series, so that's exciting. And we'll keep you updated on all the various social media channels about that. But for MLJ, I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility. We'll catch you. We're going to be back. When is it? March 15th. Oh, that's going to be an interesting one because that is the night before On Point Wrestling Throwdown. So we can talk a little bit about that show coming up. That's going to be the day of On Point. So we're going to be a little tired when we get On Point, Emil.
It's nothing new to me.
But, Emil, luck be a lady.
Just how nice a dame you can be. I know the way you've treated other guys you've been with. Hey, luck be a lady with me. A lady doesn't leave her escort. It isn't fair, and it's not nice.
A lady doesn't wander all over the room and blow on some other guy's dice. So let's keep the party polite. Never get out of my sight. Stick with me, baby, I'm the guy that you came in with. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady. Luck be a lady.
Cannolis and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.